This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Did we settle on our poll question here, Seton?
I think we're going to put up, should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back?
Okay.
We also might throw up one of, not literally throw up, we also might put up one of Todd's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not going with mine?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're going to save those.
You know, maybe tomorrow. If the Yankees lose, tonight, then maybe we could do it tomorrow.
Oh.
How about that? Is that okay?
I hope they lose.
Okay. That's the voice of the new Danette, Will Ferrell, joining us at least for today, hopefully tomorrow as well. And then your dad's birthday is on Saturday, so you're flying back for that.
That is correct.
Correct.
Lee Ferrell.
Lee Ferrell.
Turning 81.
All right.
Right?
81 years young.
Yeah.
Okay. Lee Ferrell. Yeah. Happy birthday. Right. He's so mad he's not here right now because he loves Ireland.
Is he watching right now?
He is. I don't. Yes.
He is.
I was going to say yes. Say yes.
Good.
He loves Peacock.
Yes, he does. Yes. Okay. Yes, he does. Jason Garrett, NBC Football Night in America analyst and Notre Dame football analyst. He will be on the call. Noah Eagle and Zora Stevenson. Saturday, the Fighting Irish. And that's 2:30 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. But that'll be 7:30 local time here in Dublin. Forgot all about that. So, Paulie, a little drum roll for Jason Garrett.
Look at that.
Okay. What is that that you're playing?
It's called a barum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's an Irish traditional drum, and I've gotten 3 minutes of instruction on it.
No, you're really good.
You're solid.
You're a natural.
Thank you.
Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Kidding me? We're in Dublin.
Okay. You got to get your team up. I had some problems with Fritzy.
Yeah, I saw that.
He moped a little bit yesterday, and I got on him a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm old school. I'm Lombardi. I mean, I'm going to get after you a little bit here. But if you were going to pick up the spirits, get guys motivated, how did you do that?
You know, there are a lot of different ways you can do that, Dan, as you know. Marcus Freeman talks about one play, one life. You know, if you think about that, let's go to the next play.
Yeah.
I thought you did a good job kind of getting him going that way.
Okay.
I mean, it was a little bit kind of a harassing technique that you used.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Coach. Glad you recognize that.
I'd like to be more positive, right?
Is that also a U2 song? One play, one life.
Did you yell at players?
Speaking of that, we got lost yesterday, and one of the issues in Dublin, which I love, is it's hard to find the name of the streets, and talking about U2 songs.
They're up on the side of the building.
Yeah, streets have no names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Streets have no names. Yeah.
No, don't sing it, Will.
Was that another Marcus Freeman?
So I'm empathetic. I really am.
So you got lost.
Yeah, we kind of, it took us a little bit to get to where we were going yesterday.
All right. Did you yell at players when you coached?
At times, you have to raise your voice, but in general, you try not to do that.
Okay, but what is going to bring out the anger in your voice if I'm a player?
I think repeated mistakes, stuff the guy should know.
Like false start.
Well, more like we went over this yesterday, we went over it again last night, and you're doing it again. You know, it doesn't seem like that's been an issue here.
With Fritzy?
Right?
Oh, no, this has been going on for 20 years.
Oh, it has? Yeah. Yes.
20 years.
So that would bring out the ire.
Yeah.
Coach, did you ever have, because I once used this tactic, did you ever have a player who kept making mistakes and you'd reprimand them and they'd be like, you're right. I can't get it. Would they ever just own it? And yeah. Just say, I can't get it, and I don't think I will get it.
Yeah. And then you just kind of do this, right?
Okay. Okay. Because I once got out of getting fired from a job by, I just accepted the criticism and said, you're right, I'm doing a horrible job. And it disarmed my employee, my boss, to the point where it was like a Jedi mind trick. And he said, you're on thin ice. And I'm like, I should be. I'm not good at this job.
Yeah,
but anyway. I always wondered the different coaching philosophies. If you wanted to get my attention, if you had a normal voice and you were like speaking direct to me, then you got my attention. But if you yelled, I just tune you out. I had no interest in what you were. It was just noise. But if you were like, hey, and I was called Golden Boy when I was in college. So I
for obvious reasons.
Well, it wasn't a good thing, by the way. I thought it was a good thing when the coach goes, God, by golly, Golden Boy. And I go, oh, I'm doing something great.
Robbie Benson reference.
One-on-one, Robbie Benson. Yeah. And it was a negative, but he would yell at me, and I just tuned him out. Did you tune out? You got yelled at when you played.
Yeah, I think when you're a player, you have to understand that it's not really how they're saying it, it's what they're saying. So if you can sort through kind of the noise of it and figure out, why is this guy getting so mad at me? What's the point? What's the nugget in here? I think that was always the approach. But when you're a coach, I mean, I don't think it's a great thing to rely on screaming at guys.
But you know, Jimmy Johnson talks about if this guy falls asleep in a meeting, he'll cut him. But if Troy falls asleep in a meeting, he would nudge him to wake him up.
You know, I was in that meeting when Jimmy went over that, and it's a revelation for a player when a head coach stands in front of the room and he says, okay, guys, I'm going to try to treat everybody fairly, but we're not going to treat everybody the same. And he goes through this. The player was a guy named John Roper, who was a linebacker.
Linebacker.
He was a linebacker for us. He was a heck of a player, played at Texas A&M, but came to us and was kind of on the border, and he falls asleep, and Jimmy gets rid of him. And then he kind of revealed to the rest of him, Troy or Michael Emmett. Or Emmett, I'd go over and nudge them, you know? And so that's a wake-up call for everybody in the building to say, okay, wait a second, I can't do what they do. I got to listen, and if you're the third-string quarterback like I was, you better be there early and stay late.
I was looking at your career, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Is that right?
That's a long time ago.
Okay, yeah,
about right.
Give me your NFL highlight. Like that you think back and you go, you know what?
Well, the highlight was to be part of 3 Super Bowl teams.
But I'm talking about when you were quarterback.
Yeah.
When you were playing.
I got a chance to play on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Against the Packers.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 1994, and Troy had gotten hurt. Rodney Pete, USC guy, had gotten hurt.
Yeah.
So I got a chance to play, and we were really good. They were really – it was the Packers, Favre and Reggie White and those guys. They were really good. And the game wasn't really good for me in the beginning. But then eventually we got it going and we beat him, and it was a big day.
What was it like? Because Reggie White might be the greatest defensive lineman. I mean, he's certainly in the conversation greatest defensive player of all time. But you get to the line of scrimmage, do you want to make sure you know where Reggie White is?
Oh, absolutely. And we played against Reggie when he was in Philadelphia. Then he goes to Green Bay. It's like we can't get away from this guy. But the interesting story is, you remember Larry Allen?
Yeah.
Larry Allen, one of the greatest linemen of all time. It was his rookie year. And we had a guy named Eric Williams who played right tackle. Eric was hurt. And so Larry Allen, as a rookie, had to play right tackle against Reggie White. And Larry Allen is 14-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's a remarkable player in the conversation to be the best lineman of all time. Reggie White is throwing Larry Allen around like you've never seen. Rushes up the field. He does this thing called the hump move. He throws him over. It's like, that's Larry Allen right there, you know? And it was bad in the beginning of the game. Reggie White's knocking passes down. He's sacking me. And he very famously doesn't swear. He's a minister.
Yeah.
So he's laying on top of you, and he's like, oh, you're doing great. You really are. I'd be doing a hell of a lot better if you weren't here. And better, I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say hell, you know?
Better defensive player or more impactful, LT or Reggie White?
Oh, great question. I think LT was probably more destructive. I mean, he changed the game. You had to change blocking. But Reggie White, if he's not there, is right behind him.
Yeah.
Incredible player.
We're talking to Jason Garrett. He'll be on the call coming up Saturday night. Notre Dame christens their season. How good is Notre Dame?
I think they have a chance to be really good. You know, I did the games last year, so I got a chance to get to know a lot of these guys. I think Marcus Freeman will be better in year two, just like anybody would be. He's building his program, putting his stamp on it. They got a lot of good young players. They got some veteran players on defense, but the big factor here will be the emergence and the arrival of Sam Hartman. A lot of experience as a quarterback at Wake Forest, a lot of success.
He's 24.
He is. It's really
24.
It's amazing. And like, he acts like it. He's really mature. He's a leader.
And Stetson Bennett was, what, 25?
Yeah.
What, Chris Wankie was 28 when he played? And at that level, I mean, what's the difference between an 18, 19-year-old as opposed to somebody who's 23, 24?
Well, just picture it. I mean, this guy's played, you know, started so many games. He's thrown 110 touchdown passes in college football. And so he comes into this place. It's a new environment. The transition will be interesting for him. But he has so much experience under his belt. And we had a production meeting with him over the summer, and he's just mature. I mean, it reminds you of an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to have a real positive, pervasive impact on this team.
I'm curious, when you were coaching, your philosophy with rookie quarterbacks, playing them in the preseason, that like Sam Howell with the Commanders, he's not a rookie, but it's his first year starting, got to play, you know, what, 40 plays. Anthony Richardson, is he going to play? Should he play? Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. What was your philosophy, and would it be changing now with today's quarterback?
Well, it was very noticeable to me that the Kansas City Chiefs, who everybody thinks they're just a razzle-dazzle outfit and all that kind of stuff, their head coach is an old-school guy. If you go to a Kansas City Chiefs practice, the shirts are tucked into practice. They run more than anybody. And, oh, by the way, it's the first preseason game, and number 15 is under center. He's playing. So I'm four guys playing. I think you need to play. There's only three preseason games. I don't care who you are. There's an acclimation period in football. So certainly if you're a young player, you got to play. It's different to play in a game than it is in practice. And I know regular season will be different than the preseason. I get that. But playing in a preseason game with your uniform on against another opponent, seeing a variety of things that you haven't seen in practice, it's valuable. And, you know, we had Dak Prescott in 2016, and Tony Romo was going to be our quarterback, but he got hurt. Kellen Moore was our backup. He got hurt. Now Dak is our starter. And thankfully, we played him a lot in the preseason and ended up winning 13 games for us. So if you're a young player, you need to play. And I get the risk of injury and all of that, but it's pro football. That comes with it.
I wonder about Romo because he was a really good quarterback. If he doesn't get hurt or he adds a Super Bowl, wins a Super Bowl, being a Cowboy quarterback, I wonder if he's a Hall of Famer, a borderline Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer in your opinion.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that his numbers would suggest that. But, okay, you know, as we all know, you get judged by the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And, you know, there are a lot of great players who don't feel like they've reached that next echelon because they weren't part of championship teams.
But do you think that that should be the, like Eli Manning, I don't think is a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. And he won two Super Bowls. But his numbers during the regular season, he would suggest he was a good quarterback.
Yeah. You know, that's the measuring stick, whether you agree with it or not. If Walter Payton had retired before the 85 season.
He's still a Hall of Famer.
One of the greatest.
Yeah, but we don't hold running backs or any other position to that. It's coaches and quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Nobody says, well, how many, you know, Calvin Johnson didn't win any playoff games. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Nobody questions. Now, I know the quarterback has more of a say there, but it feels like that's the bottom line, and I don't know. Phillip Rivers, Hall of Famer?
In my opinion, he is, okay. Absolutely.
Eli Manning?
I think he will be a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Do you think he should be a Hall of Famer?
It's a tricky thing. You know, Deion Sanders was a teammate of mine for 5 years, and as we all know, Deion is this amazing guy, incredible athlete, maybe the best I've ever been around, and he has this wisdom about life. And, you know, we were at the Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago to do that game, and I kept thinking about Deion's line that they're letting a lot of guys in here. I need my own room. You know?
But I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If you go in first ballot, I have no problem with you having the top floor.
Yeah.
Like the gold room. Just call it the gold room.
And I think that's the means. If you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're kind of different than everybody else.
I'm okay with that. Yes, Will. You got a question?
You're a big advocate of Ken Anderson.
Yes, I am.
Right?
Yeah.
Getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, I am.
Perfect example of someone who never won.
Went to a Super Bowl.
Right?
Lost to Montana.
But has amazing
but
numbers.
But if he beat Montana.
He's in.
If Matt Ryan, is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
I think he is, eventually, yeah. The tricky part about the whole thing is, how many balls do you think Lynn Swann caught in his career?
400.
Yeah, less than 500.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an era where they're not throwing the ball very much, but if you think about the impact that Lynn Swann had on football, had on championship teams, it's as impactful as anybody. So the numbers change, different than baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball, you hit 300, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. Football, the game has changed. So it's hard to say from this generation to that generation, we're going to compare numbers and all of that. So that's a tricky element to this thing, too. So I do think winning, being part of the winning team in your generation, should carry a little extra weight.
Okay, you being a former quarterback and being a former coach, you can have Belichick or Brady to start your franchise.
You know, Bill Belichick's the best coach ever. The trophy could be named after him.
Okay.
Very easily.
But? Is there a but coming?
The impact of that quarterback on that franchise and on football is significant. You think about what he did 20 years there, all the success they had. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to Tampa. They were 7-9 last year, and now I'm going to go win the Super Bowl with them. Okay. It's pretty rare. At the end of the day, you need quarterbacks to win. So I'm going to say just by a smidge.
Okay. All right. Brady.
I'll take the quarterback.
Okay. Fair enough.
But having said that, Belichick's the best that ever walked.
Did he draft Brady?
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. So he saw what was there.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe?
Well.
Okay.
Took him in the sixth.
Yeah. It's not like he goes, we better get him in the third or second.
Right.
It was like, by the way, skinny kid from the combine, we'll take him.
We'll use our sixth round pick.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I guess I can say that's part of the genius, but I think that'd be stretching a little bit. I think he lucked into Tom Brady. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Thank
totally
you.
Fair.
Thank you.
Totally
take
fair.
199.
Yeah, 199. Have fun on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yep. I look forward to it. We'll be there if they let us in. We still got a few more days here in Dublin, so I don't know. We might.
Hey, Coach, do you have a line on getting any Ottawa Rough Rider swag for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I know people up there.
Great.
Lansdowne Park.
But did they change their name? There's Rough Riders, and then didn't somebody change their name to the like Black Knights or Black?
They did
something red.
You know, there are eight teams up there, and. They're two Rough Riders.
Two Rough Riders.
But there's a distinction.
Okay.
One of them is one word, Rough Riders. The other one is Rough Riders.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So now it makes sense. Now I see it.
I cleared it up for you.
Coach, thanks for joining us. And you can hear Coach coming up on Saturday night. It's Notre Dame and Navy. Yeah?
Can I just have one more second here?
Okay.
Can you tell me the training you did for the snowball scene in Elf?
Yeah.
You know, thank you. Thank you for asking, Jason.
Magical.
Yeah.
I worked with Tom House, the quarterback coach, former pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. And we broke it down, a lot of film sessions, a lot of
biometrics.
No question.
A lot of work with the bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Internal, external.
Internal, external.
I like that.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question. Yeah,
thank you.
Have fun, and thanks for joining us as always. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Update the poll results if you can, Seton, and then we'll get to Brady Quinn.
Yeah, Dan, we put two of them up there. We've got, after a long first night out on the town in Ireland, we should go easy and pace ourselves, or as Todd would say, doubling down and go hard.
Okay.
Right now, 87% of the audience are telling us to go hard. Just keep partying.
Oh, boy.
Okay? All right. And then we also have, should Reggie Bush be reinstated as a Heisman Trophy winner? That one,
yeah.
89% of the audience, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Yes, he should. Yep.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, Marv.
I'm with the audience. We can't act like we didn't see him do what he did against Fresno State.
That is
like,
true.
Oh, I don't, they took that away. Get out of here. I hate that so much. Like, oh, we're vacating your... No, you can't vacate it from my mind and my heart.
Well, it's like Michigan basketball. Like, you can take that away from them, but you can't take the Fab Five away from us.
Right.
Yeah, those memories are there.
Yeah, we all saw it happen.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we do.
All right, big introduction. Once again, Paulie has learned to play a new instrument here, our drum roll.
Very authentic.
Former Notre Dame quarterback,
yeah.
Fox college football analyst, Big Noon Kickoff, and he's one of the hosts with Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Let's bring in Brady Quinn, who joins us on the program.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
We thought that it was going to be.
Buddy.
We thought we were going short sleeve today to show us the guns and to send a message to Will Ferrell because, as you have brought to our attention before, when you played for Notre Dame, Will Ferrell would be yelling at you.
Okay, this is what we need to do to get to the bottom of this. Okay.
Right.
Here's what I'm thinking.
At the Coliseum?
At the Coliseum, of course. You weren't coming to South Bend.
Well, I've been.
Have you been?
I've been a couple times.
Okay,
yeah.
You've been. All right. Well, you
probably not on the field.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. In this case, you were definitely on the field. Or right. At least I thought it was you.
Yeah.
If you could humor me, all right, and just say, "Hey, number 10, your pants are too high." If you could just say that,
that's probably something I would have said.
That sounds like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, number 10. Your pants are too high.
That's him. That was him. I know it's been a long time, but it's definitely you.
Wait, that's your trash talking?
Yeah, I don't go for like obvious, like your mama. I don't do anything like that.
Can I be honest though?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I literally looked at my backup and I was like, is that Will Ferrell? I was like, are my pants too high? And I was like,
I
know I have long legs, but I mean, geez. Yeah. And then I don't know. I was probably all I was thinking about for the next 5 minutes. I mean, it was definitely a great tactic.
Hey, number 10, you run awkwardly.
There it is.
That's the style of
okay.
mine.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Man, that's penetrating.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurts.
But you heard it.
I heard it. I think the next week I probably was sagging a little bit my pants. Or I did something to alter my uniform all because of Will Ferrell.
I know I used to scream at the mascot, whoever, the leprechaun.
The leprechaun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would say, leprechaun! Leprechaun! Leprechaun!
He's a reason to be angry, what? Right?
And I'd say, F you.
Okay. Did USC recruit you?
No. So USC, Miami, Florida State were probably the three schools that did not recruit me. Pretty much everyone else.
Okay. And if USC had recruited you?
Oh, I was such a baby, such a mama's boy and all that. I took a trip to Colorado, and that was back when Gary Barnett was there, so they were starting to kind of get things going. And he gives me a book. The book is about his success that he had at Northwestern. So I start reading back. It's a long flight back from Denver to Ohio, and I get like 40 pages in, and it was actually a letter of hate mail. Someone bought the book, sent it to him, and was saying all this stuff, how he was a fraud, he was this and that. And I was like, man, this is like must be an omen. And I had family at that point in time. I still have family in Colorado, so it wouldn't have been that big of an adjustment. But my parents couldn't come watch me play. It wasn't as nationally televised as it is today.
Why didn't you go to Ohio State since you were from Ohio?
You know, it was tough growing up in Columbus, honestly, having it be like right there in your backyard. But I felt like Notre Dame was just a better fit for me. I loved Ty Willingham. That was who I went to go play for. He ran a version of the West Coast offense from his time with Denny Green with the Minnesota Vikings. That appealed to me. And I think the one thing that kept lingering in the back of my head, because I was also, at that age, I was a big Tom Brady fan. So Michigan was in the mix. And I always thought to myself, man, look at the lineage of quarterbacks that went to the NFL from Notre Dame and Michigan. And at that point, if you had pointed someone at Ohio State, you would have said, Arch Leister?
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably the best then, but it had been a while, and I wanted to go to a place where I feel like it prepared me for everything, you know, academically, athletically, and that way if I had a shot to go pro, that was the best place to do it, and it was just the best fit for me.
Should Reggie Bush get his Heisman Trophy back?
Oh, man, what a loaded question. So I'll say this. Reggie was the best college football player that I've ever seen, in, at least in my time. There was never a time when you thought he wasn't going to score a touchdown. And what gets complicated about it is kind of what you brought up, where we're in a world now where, especially young people, they don't care. You know, they don't care if he accepted something back then because they look at NIL and they say, well, you know, it's allowed now. The problem is how you go about doing it now is different than what was happening back then. That being said, I mean, I think the way we've penalized not only Reggie, but even USC afterwards is what always strikes me as like,
thank you.
Something happens.
Thank you.
And then you penalize the people after him. Like he doesn't face any consequences. So look, I've always championed for him to be able to get it back, as hard as that is for me to admit, a Southern Cal guy and all that. He was the greatest college football player that I'd seen. So rightfully so. And Marv, I think you just brought it up, right? Like, you did not see that. Like, trust me, I witnessed everything that happened when we were playing against them in that heyday. So you can't unsee it. But at the same time, there's still a line that was crossed. You know, and it's interesting, this whole defamation lawsuit. I would make the case, like, him not having his Heisman has actually given him more fame. I mean, it's because kids now, like, when we go out on college campuses, and Leinart just got a great TikTok or Instagram where he's walking around USC and, like, no one even recognizes him. And it's because you kind of forget, like, everyone's moved on, and they didn't see us play. But you then see, like, fans who are like, hey, man, we need to give Richie his Heisman back. Like, you see it everywhere you go. I mean, it's literally followed him. And you forget the dude's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's had other accomplishments.
He got to date a Kardashian.
I was just saying, he might be a bigger reality TV star known for Kim Kardashian, that relationship. And so it's crazy, though, because it's actually continued to follow him. I don't know. I think you got to keep milking it. He had a Wendy's commercial off of it, too. True. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's not such a bad thing right now.
I think Pete Rose has benefited from not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he's still in the news. He's still relevant. Right. If not, he'd be just a Hall of Famer, sign an autograph somewhere, and no one really care. You know, people champion Pete's cause. Hey, now you can gamble on baseball. Why can't Pete get back into baseball?
Yeah.
And I said, no, it doesn't work that way.
I want to know where the Heisman's at. That's what I want to know.
No, we got it back.
Oh, you got it back?
Yeah.
So you did get it back.
Yeah.
See, all I was paying attention to was the San Diego Sports Hall of Fame or whatever that was. And,
Hall of Champions. No, Paulie had somebody who reached out to him and said, I have the Heisman here.
They had it?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
here's all I know is Leinart was in his closet. We asked him one time, like, where it was. He told us it was, like, under some clothes in the back of his closet somewhere.
Well, Carson Palmer had his out in the garage.
Yeah.
I mean, and I asked him if he could send it to me, and he did. So we had his Heisman for 6-8 months. Because he said, what do you do with it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have one, so I wouldn't know. My awards are at my mom's house. So
you finished, what, fourth in the Heisman?
Third and fourth.
Third and fourth.
Yeah. It's always fun to be there.
But the Bush push, you can do that now.
Couldn't do it back then. Yeah.
But if that ball doesn't go out of bounds on third down, right?
Well, the clock should have kept running, and they did get a favorable spot.
Yeah, but that's at Notre Dame, so I
Yeah, but we always had the opposing teams back then. We had their officials, right? Because we're independent, so we don't have our officials. So I believe it was a Pac-12 officiating crew.
Give me the scenario where Notre Dame would join a conference.
Oh, that's a good question. I would say the scenario would, I think it would be twofold. It'd be one in which it'd be too hard to pass up what you would be compensated by joining a conference, probably through a broadcast TV media rights deal. Coupled with the fact that everyone that you're trying to schedule is pretty much in that conference, right? So if you think about the traditional opponents, you're always going to have your West Coast trip, either Stanford, USC. You know, back when I was playing, we always had our Michigan State, Purdue. We had those Big Ten schools. If all of a sudden you're looking at a world where we live in college football, where there's maybe only four power four conferences, autonomous conferences, or two in this case, you might be saying to yourself, well, what's holding them back from just joining at that point? Especially if it's in order for them to be able to stay competitive, you know, you're making this big TV rights media deal as well, and you can't get that staying independent. I think it's those two things where you really can't turn to create a schedule that doesn't make sense.
But I'm wondering if, you know, these conferences say you're only playing the schools in the conference, therefore you take away Notre Dame's schedule from them. So then they're going to be playing Army and Air Force, Navy,
right?
Maybe and some ACC schools, but the Big Ten.
They could do that, and I obviously you'd have to create a scenario where you have so many conference games that you're eliminating non-conference games, right?
Yeah.
Because what I always advertise to people and people who want to challenge Notre Dame to join a conference, I say, we're your best non-conference game.
Yeah.
We are who you use to justify win or lose why you should get into the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So why do you want us to join a conference? Like, you're welcome. College football, you're welcome.
Yes, Will. Yes, Will.
I think Notre Dame, bold move here, joins the Pac-12.
Okay. Wow.
Right?
That's
Conference of Champions.
Very.
Which is now about the Pac-7? Seven and a half?
Four. I think it's four.
It's four.
Yeah.
I think
who would be the partner? You didn't even numbers. So you have to have one more.
SMU.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, bring a place that had a death sentence
pretty
at one point.
Here, right? Yeah.
Well, sure. Well, nothing makes sense in college football anymore.
Hey, it feels a little chaotic right now. Right?
I think Rutgers leaves the Big Ten.
And no one would know.
And joins the Pac-12. Then we add Tulsa.
Of course.
And then round it out with Fresno State.
There you go.
That'll do it. You can.
I just fixed college football.
I'm gonna
just fix it. I just told
you. No, you fixed.
Maybe you should be
Pac-12.
The next Pac, the new Pac-12 commissioner. Yeah. Maybe you should take it.
I would do a better job than the current person.
Well, you're right about that. Yeah. Brady, do you have a question for Will Ferrell?
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this. I asked you upstairs. You really didn't say.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, you know, you came here with the crew. Like, you'd be rooting for Notre Dame coming to Ireland, or.
No, of course not. No. I'm.
So, like, never. There's no chance you can just.
Do you hate Notre Dame?
I wouldn't say hate. No. In fact, I would say the couple games I've been, Notre Dame fans.
So nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's probably and part of the problem, though, right? Treated, when they're too nice?
No. They were great. Right. And you could talk football, and it made the rival. It was like, oh, this is a great rivalry. Yeah. So I wouldn't say, hate's a strong word. But go midshipman.
But the fan base with Ohio State as opposed to Notre Dame. Growing up in Ohio, like Herb Street ended up moving out of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a serious fan base, whereas Notre Dame strikes me as like the St. Louis Cardinals. They were always a nice, friendly root for you.
It's a different feel. I mean, clearly, anytime a university is attached to the Catholic Church, there's going to be that sort of portion of it. But I think what's awesome about college football and what makes it so special is it's more cultural. Like, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. I know exactly what a lot of people right now who are Ohio State fans are dealing with, losing to Michigan 2 years in a row and then not even getting to play them during the COVID year. So it feels like it's been so long since you got that win. I grew up during the John Cooper era. Like, I remember what that was like. They had all these guys, first round talent, going to the NFL. All these teams were on the cusp, and they couldn't beat Michigan, or they suffered something in the bowl game. And I remember how miserable it was for Ohio State fans.
I know.
And that's a part of college football. They live and die by it, and so it's what makes the storylines of the game fun. So, the passion's there. It's awesome. And I never get upset when you people want to talk about, like, Ohio State fans being like two of them. I'm like, no, that's how it should be. They're passionate about their team, their fan base. Notre Dame fans are the same way. You might see them more on message boards because we're not all kind of, you know, centrally located in one state. But yeah. Notre Dame fans got the same passion, too.
All right, let's play the Brady Quinn bench press game.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah. Todd, I'll start with you.
You have a bench press? Is that what we're doing again?
No, we don't have a bench.
Usually I come here and I have to do a physical activity every time I'm here.
Well, why don't you?
Can we have a Guinness? I mean, can we have some sort of shot of Jameson?
Brady, but you and I are hitting the gym later, right?
Are we?
Yeah. Well, I think so.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Why don't you two wrestle? Like, you want a physical activity. Will, would you wrestle Brady Quinn? Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Here we go.
Oh, dear.
So, about the same height. Will, looks like he's wrestled before.
Oh.
Greco-Roman. Oh, you want to get down on all fours, and then Brady, you're not going to hold on to him?
I'm gonna let him stand up.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
They do that in mixed martial arts, right? They let you stand up.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, he's scrappy.
Yeah, he's scrappy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Okay.
Don't mess with the hair.
Whoa. I thought he grabbed below the belt.
Wow, Brady just picked up. Brady just picked up Will.
Brady just, he went below the belt, by the way, Will. Like, I'm going to take 2 points away from him. No, you grabbed it. You were crotch bound.
I was around the stomach.
Yeah, I think it was legal.
Dan, I think I would know.
Oh, well,
I think it was all legal.
Okay, you're okay with that. You got a load of Beef O'Brady right there. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, from our angle, it looked like Will went too close to Brady's hair, and then it was go time.
Yeah, there's a few things. I can't blame him. Look at that. I mean, it's
hanging on.
That's like Tom Cruise, like, you know, hairdo.
It's a great head of hair.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Just take it. Just run with it.
Yeah. There aren't many compliments in this room this week. Just let you know. Say,
Fritzy's usually one that compliments me on my hair. So.
He's a very good-looking guy. There's a little man crush there. I was jealous of Will just now. I didn't get that wrestling opportunity.
That's too much.
What the heck is going on?
I'm very comfortable in my masculinity to say that's a very handsome gentleman. And if I had an opportunity to wrestle with Brady Quinn, I probably would not pass that.
It is a strange sensation to be 57 years old. No, am I 56?
Well, you're Hollywood. You lie about your age.
Yeah, right. It's a strange sensation to be a 42-year-old man and get picked up off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was thrilling.
I do have a real question for him.
You're blushing. Brady.
What do we got coming on next as far as movies? Because obviously, I looked at him as one of them.
Not allowed to talk.
Oh, we can?
No. Screen actors. Okay. Strike.
That's right.
I'm enjoying my time in Dublin. It's city rich in history.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about that. Get in trouble.
Have you been out picketing?
Have you seen the Liffey River?
Will, you're 56.
I'm 56. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We have to take a break. Brady, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And you can hear Brady Monday through Friday, the show that precedes ours, to Pros and Cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington.
Yep.
And Jonas?
Yes, Jonas, sir. Jonas Knox.
Yes. Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Right Brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Right Brand bacon.
Oh, boy. We have our calendar picture for next year. The month of September is going to be the...
I don't want to correct you. That's Scrotember.
Scrotember.
Yes.
All right. Will Ferrell kind enough to bring in his props from Step Brothers, and we appreciate that. Very nice gesture on your part. And if you aren't able to watch on Peacock, the picture of this prop will be on the newsletter today, later today. But open it at your own risk, I will tell you that. Very accurate. Very accurate portrayal.
NSFW.
Yes, that's true. All righty. Let me see. Anything else I need to mention here? NASCAR on USA for playoff hopefuls. The last chance awaits. The NASCAR Cup Series closes out the regular season in primetime on the high banks of Daytona Saturday at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. He is the athletic director at Notre Dame. He is Jack Swarbrick, and set to leave that position, but certainly left his mark on college football. Can't tell the story of college football, the good stuff, without Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director, kind enough to join us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Flying the Notre Dame colors there. Jack saying hello to USC alum Will Ferrell. Jack, thanks for joining us.
Let me say how happy I am that Father John is not representing you on this show.
Wow. And Did you take in all of that?
I did.
Okay.
I thought the obvious question wasn't asked.
And that was?
Who was the model?
Who's?
You know what? We don't know. That's not a great question. Not me. No.
We're going to look into that,
yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
We'll get some of our best people on it. How did this concept come up with Notre Dame playing in Dublin? I know that it's happened before, but how did it come up?
Well, we try very hard to get around the world and the country with these games. This happens to be part of the Aer Lingus series, and so it's not technically a Shamrock Series game, but on average, every other year, we'll be in Lambeau against Wisconsin coming up. We played in Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium. We were in Las Vegas last year, and this is our third time in Ireland.
What kind of hurdles do you go through trying to get something like this done where it's out of the country?
It's pretty interesting, and I'm sure the NFL has become much more of an expert than we are at this, but it's a lot of simple things like the drugs that your team doctor normally has at a game, right? You're bringing into a different country.
Yeah.
And you've got to have somebody in that country who can help you prescribe those drugs if they're needed. Players pass.
I've got a guy, Jack, if you're having any issues.
Player passports. You know, how many, you know?
Because not everybody has a passport when they're 18 or 19 years of age.
Yeah, that's right. And usually we'll find out about a quarter to a third of our team doesn't have a passport. And so you're engaged in that whole process.
Also, when we landed, our cab drivers were talking about Gaelic football and that Gaelic football is real football. And maybe that was the precursor to NFL football or college football. But they were talking about how violent it is where you guys get to wear pads and they don't. So did Gaelic football precede college football?
I assume it did. I was watching a little of it this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting game. I know nothing about it.
Well, I was rugby. I said, what's the difference between Gaelic football and rugby? And then my cab driver goes, that's a good question. But you didn't know.
Yeah,
so
the scrum is missing. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
There's not that.
How would you compare, if we're looking at the Cowboys fan base, is that similar? Duke basketball, Notre Dame football, is there comparisons that you have with other sports?
You know, I think what distinguishes us the most is the number of people who, for a host of reasons, some historical, some faith-based, support us that have never been to South Bend, never been to a Notre Dame game. You know, we were in San Diego several years ago, sold the place out. And, you know, those were a lot of people who were Subway alums in the sense that they've just adopted Notre Dame. So I think that's one of the big differences.
Can you sum up what's happened with college football in the last, where would you start?
Complete disaster.
How did we get here, Jack?
I wish I knew. And listen, I'm not, everybody in the industry has to take responsibility here. I'm not excluding myself from that. I think the decision-making has lost its way in terms of the focus on the student athlete and what's primarily best for them. But we are where we are, and we have to try and make it work. I mean, we've been pretty vocal in the past month about we need to find a home for Stanford and Cal. That you can't have two of the great academic institutions in the world not have a place to play.
What kind of solution you got?
We're working on it.
Meaning?
Well, there's still consideration of the ACC as a home for those schools.
Okay. And Notre Dame is lobbying for Stanford and Cal to join?
Very much so.
Okay. Yeah. And the Pac-12 dies?
It's looking that way more and more every day, yes.
But can I go back and say this? If we didn't do this or we did do this, that would have changed everything or kept it? I mean, Chip Kelly has talked about, why don't we just have, you know, the football schools play the football schools, and then the other athletic programs don't have to travel to Piscataway or, you know, Syracuse or those kind of things. I mean, that seems like obvious that you could be able to still do that and not have the baseball team travel, you know, all across the country.
I'm all for more regional scheduling.
Yeah.
I think it makes a load of sense. It doesn't mean you need to separate out football operationally, right? I think we can all still stay under the same umbrella, but I'd like to see much more regional scheduling.
Could you see where we're headed towards the NFL model with college football? Let's say you have 50 teams, split it up with divisions.
Yeah, a little hard to get there because of the conflicting media rights deals and assignment of rights. And So those things don't ever line up on the calendar basis. So a little hard to see how you get there. But it's likely within the next year, either in an action involving USC or a federal case in Pennsylvania, student athletes, football and basketball players will be declared employees.
You think that's where we should be headed?
I don't. It's not about not supporting them and making sure there are ample benefits available. We were the first school in the country to advocate for name, image, and likeness back in 2015. But I don't think they need to be employees. We still want them to be part of the student body and involved in a lot of the same experiences that the normal student has.
But is this based on greed? Or how much is with what's gone on with, and the people in power who are making these, you know, the kids are going to be the kids, but you got grown-ups who have made decisions that seem like they're just based on money.
Yeah, well, they're certainly based on money. There's no question. And some of that is the demands that have arisen over time to find more revenue to meet this requirement or this requirement. So I'm not terribly comfortable with the description of it as greed, but it is all about money.
He's the athletic director at Notre Dame, Jack Swarbrick. Do you have a question for Will? Jack?
Will, how do you feel about your new AD?
Washington, former Washington AD, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good poll.
I'm excited. I think it's it's great to have a female AD at USC. She obviously... I mean, I can't say that I've studied athletic directors, but it feels like it's a strong move, right? I got a question for you, Jack. Your replacement is Pete Bavakwa?
That's right.
Any relation to Kurt Bavakwa?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Oh, they're not related? I thought that they were somehow related.
I just saw that name and thought, I didn't
want to. Former baseball player.
Yeah, right.
Kurt Bavakwa.
Pete has never shared that with me if they are.
Could we Google that and see? I thought the athletic director, the new one, is related to him. Was he a Padre, Kurt Bavakwa?
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we learned something together here, Jack.
Perhaps. Yeah.
When you look at these service academies, are they going to be able to stay competitive with the other Division I programs moving down the road?
I sure hope so, and I think they've got a lot of things going for them. There have been some rule changes in recent years designed to ensure player safety that's made it a little harder to be a triple option team. But they've certainly had some recent years of great success between Army and Navy, so that's our hope.
What would you have to hear to join a conference?
That we didn't have a media partner, that we didn't have a fair path to the college football playoff.
If the NBC media plan was not there, would Notre Dame be in a conference?
Yeah, if we didn't have somebody else who was willing to step up, yes.
Okay. And would that be the Big Ten?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to have that discussion with each of the available conferences.
You haven't had those discussions before?
We've had lots of inquiries. We've never negotiated for participation.
How does that work when there's inquiries? What happens?
Usually it's a president-to-president call. Where someone from a conference, a president from a conference, is assigned a call, in this case, Father Jenkins, and say, maybe are you considering a different path? And we say no.
And then it gets down to you? Are you involved in the process after that?
Yeah.
With the phone call?
I typically am. Yeah.
What's the closest Notre Dame's ever come to joining a conference?
You know, I don't know that it was particularly close, but if we hadn't been able to find a home for our Olympic sports with the ACC, maintaining football independence would have been problematic. We needed a partner who would allow our Olympic sports to participate at the level we want them to.
And I guess it's not as lucrative having your own, you know, TV network, but joining the ACC, you're there with other sports. You do play some ACC schools, but is that a possibility down the road?
Well, all the major conferences are a possibility.
Okay. We
play hockey in the Big Ten. We have the other Olympic sports in the ACC, and football's independent.
What are you going to do when you step down?
I don't know. I get a great piece of advice that said, don't agree to do anything for 6 months. So okay. I'm gonna try and follow that. But, yeah, I'm eager to stay involved in the industry.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the contributions to college football. College football will not be better off without you, that's for sure. Hopefully you stay in the mix there. Can you run the NCAA, Jack?
Actually, I think they have a great guy right now, Charlie Baker.
Okay.
I'm not sure you can govern that thing, but if it's governable, he's the right person to try.
Are we going to do away with the NCAA? Should we?
You can't have an association of 3,000 anything, right? There's just not enough commonality of interest.
Yeah.
So
do we need it?
We need some governing entities. As you point out, it could be one someday, which is the 50 most well-known brands.
Yeah.
But it's tough to govern across so many different models of college athletics. It's just hard.
Great to see you. Have fun over the weekend, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Right. Jack Swarbrick, the University Vice President and the Director of Athletics.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy, with available seating for up to 7. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime,
with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.